Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Morning Mulligans podcast with your host, Jackson Dibble and Todd McGill.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Morning Mulligans podcast. I'm your host, Jackson Dibble.
And I'm Todd McGill.
Welcome, everybody. It's this week's the Wells Fargo Championship. It's a fun week. It's a long golf course. But, as usual, before we jump in to this week's, we got to tell you a little bit about last week. Starting off with the little news, obviously, Sam Burns won.
Yep, we can't call him Bunzy Boy anymore.
I didn't think that was going to happen. That really, really shocked me. He's still Bunzy.
Yeah.
But that's because I really did not expect Sam Burns to win. But whatever. I didn't bet on it. So you got a little bit of news. Todd, you got something?
Yeah, Ricky Fowler was given a special exemption into the PGA Championship based on performance, playing records, and overall world golf ranking.
You love to see that. Everybody loves Ricky. Could be the major. Could be it. The one he wants.
He needs something.
Yeah. A little bit of our news, just some funny news. Taylor Gooch is apparently a really nice guy and a savage on Twitter at the same time. A guy called him out for how bad he is at putting, and Taylor Gooch replied to him, like, "Did you bet on me?" And he said, "Yes, of course, yada, yada." And he said, the guy asked Taylor Gooch to come to New York and play him a mini golf for $50,000. And Taylor Gooch said, "Game on." And he was going to do it, but the guy never replied to him. But then all these other people started pouring in. That they bet on Taylor Gooch, and Taylor Gooch missed a cut. So Taylor Gooch started Venmoing people their bets back, refunding their money. So that's pretty funny.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. This is another reason to like the Gooch man, who we like here on the show a lot. But I'll tell you a little bit about how we did last week. Not a bad week. Not the best we have been doing, because in recent weeks, past, what, 5 weeks, 4 weeks?
Yeah.
We've been killing it. And last week was kind of tough. We had Kokrak tied 13th, Corey Connors tied 21st. Emiliano Grillo killed us.
I mean, what in the...
Yeah.
Almost...
Beep!
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, Emiliano Grillo was tied second after the first day, and he missed a cut.
Yeah.
And he killed us. I mean, yeah. But we both agreed on Keegan Bradley. He was tied second. That was huge. I'm going to run through really quick about some of the guys. We had Charles Howell tied 39th. Denny McCarthy tied 39th. Chris Kirk missed the cut. Patrick Uihlein, or Peter Uihlein, tied 57th. Charlie Hoffman tied 18th. Paul Casey tied 21st. Sung Jae-im tied 29th. Lucas Glover tied 48th. Russell Knox tied 21st. Louis Oosthuizen tied 8th. There you go, Todd.
There we go.
Adam Hadwin missed the cut. Let's see. Charles Schwartzel tied 21st. And Vincent Whaley tied 29th. So, a lot of top 30s this week.
Yeah, we, I made a little bit of money in my teams, but, yeah, nobody really went super deep.
I made some money on teams. I didn't make anything on single bets, so.
Yeah, Scott Stallings was my only single bet win.
Yeah, that, I had a bad week in single bets. But I have some future into tomorrow's episode, Wednesday Wagers. I have some very intriguing bets that everybody's going to want to listen to. So Wednesday Wagers tomorrow is going to be great. But let's talk picks this week. Wells Fargo Championship. We're here at Quail Hollow. It's fun. It's a fun week. It's a long golf course, 7,554 yards. And we're playing on Bermuda Champion grass. Not many courses on tour have Bermuda Champion. It's a little fun fact. A lot of courses on tour, Bermuda Tiff Eagle. And Bermuda Tiff Eagle is actually it's a hybrid of Bermuda Champion. It was born out of Bermuda Champion, but it's not related enough to where you can say that they're close enough to compare them.
Ah, okay.
But just a little fun fact there. But it's in Charlotte, North Carolina, which is pretty close to us, actually.
Yeah.
The past 4 or 5 weeks, I've been doing a lot of course comparisons with the grass, just Tiff Eagle grass, and that paid off tremendously. This past week, I tried to mix up a little bit. Didn't work. But so, only other course I'm really seeing that's worth it, and when you're talking Bermuda Champion grass, is the AT&T Byron Nelson, which is next week. So I'm kind of using this week as a preparation for next week for me. Next week, AT&T Byron Nelson is Bermuda Champion Grass, and it's 7,450 yards, so 100 yards shorter. It's not dramatically different. But that being said, I'm a big course comparison guy. Todd is the big stat guy, huge stat guy.
Yep.
So that being said, let's talk picks. We use FanDuel for everything. And we go break it down by tiers, and our first tier is the most expensive player down to the $10,000 player. Again, FanDuel pricing for everything. Todd, start us off.
All right, so I'm going pretty heavy tier A this week.
Me too.
I just don't like once it gets out of tier A. I don't know. To me, the picks just get really risky.
Yeah.
I'm not really going with Justin Thomas. He had his, like, second worst putting week of his entire career last week.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm kind of staying on clear from him a little bit.
Steering clear.
But one guy I'm really looking at heavy this week is John Rahm. He's the second most expensive for FanDuel at $12,100. You know, he looked really good at the Zurich with Ryan Palmer. I think they finished, like, solo seventh or like that. And if you look back at his year so far, he only has two finishes outside the top 10.
Dang.
Outside the top 10, and one's 13th at the Waste Management and then 32nd at WGC.
Yeah, no, he's playing fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, he's killing it. He's still probably got a little bit of the baby fever going on.
I see. How much practicing has you really done right now?
Enough to finish top 10 just about every week.
That's fair.
He's got decent course history. He's fourth here in 2017. He doesn't really need me to read off stats or anything like that, but he's second in strokes gained tee to green, third in strokes gained off the tee, 17th in strokes gained approach, and fourth in greens in regulation.
So he's playing pretty good. Yeah. What you're saying.
I mean, I think.
Solid pick.
For some of the top, you know, how six or seven guys in the world, I think he's definitely due for a win.
Yeah. What's his price tag?
$12,100. Yeah.
God.
I'm definitely
high.
Thinking he can walk away with a win, though.
That's high. But, yeah, I agree. All right, the most expensive Tier A player, I think John Rahm's a great pick. I might put him in a lineup. But most expensive Tier A player I have this week is actually Patrick Reed, which not a Patrick Reed fan.
Way down there.
Yeah, no, I'm not. I don't know. This is a really weird week for me. I had a really hard time picking players this week. Patrick Reed, $10,900. Again, FanDuel pricing for everything. Tied 28th in 2019 here at the Wells Fargo, tied 8th 2018, tied 12th in 2017, and tied 28th in 2016. And my course comparison this week is the AT&T Byron Nelson, which is kind of hard because a lot of the higher guys don't usually play in that tournament. So I feel like my Tier B and my Tier C are pretty stacked. I'm really confident in my Tier C players this week. But Tier A-wise, talking Patrick Reed, he has a tied 20th in 2017. So, not bad. But again, I mean, you can't really compare it that way. But Patrick Reed does have very good course history here. $10,900, not a bad price tag for the week. So, kind of go up and down with him.
I mean, just to give that pick a little more boost, the last time he did miss the cut last week.
Mm-hmm.
But the last time we've seen him miss the cut this year, he came back the following week and won.
Yeah.
He missed the cut at the American Express and then came back and won the Farmers Insurance, which with a little bit of, you know, help from cheating or whatever you want to call that. But
no, it's cheating.
Regardless, he did come back and win. So
that's true. How many Tier A guys do you have, by the way?
Four.
Okay, so I'll throw you one more. I actually wrote a question mark next to this guy. It's one of my boys, Corey Connors. I don't know. I feel like, for some reason, every time I look at Corey Connors' name, I feel like he's leaving soon. I feel like he's just leaving. I don't know where he's going, but I feel like he's just leaving.
He's on the outward.
Yeah, but Corey Connors, $10,800. It's a little risky right now. He's playing amazing.
Yeah, he is.
He had a tied 21st last week, which is the worst we've seen him play in a while.
Mm-hmm.
But he's also not the longest hitter, and his only finish here is in 2018, and it's tied 42nd. So, I don't know. I feel like you could see Corey Connors top 30, but is $10,800 top 30 money? I don't think it is.
Plus, I think his ownership's going to be really high.
You think so?
Yeah, I mean, in my games last week, I think he was over like 20% owned.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, that's saying, and if you're $10,800 and you're only getting me top 30, that's not worth it.
Mm-mm.
I'd rather take Patrick Reed at $10,900.
Yeah,
but
same.
Throw me a pick you got.
So next guy I got in this tier is Will Zalatoris.
Oh, he's jumping back on the train.
Yeah, he took he's taken a pretty big break off since his Masters run. He did play at the RBC Heritage, finished tied 42nd there. But since then, he has not played.
Yeah.
He is still searching for a win, though, to gain full-time status on tour. He's just kind of on a limited basis right now. And he's a bomber that you would think would play pretty good here.
I could definitely see him playing well here. How much is he?
$10,700.
Yeah, see, I would probably rather have Will Zalatoris over Corey and Patrick Reed, to be honest.
I mean, he's playing solid golf right now. He hasn't missed a cut since the Sanderson Farms Championship back in October of last year.
Uh-huh.
So he's still playing consistent golf. Stats-wise, he's fourth in strokes gained approach, eighth in strokes gained tee to green, 16th in strokes gained total, and 26th in par five scoring.
Wow. Okay. So, yeah, he hits it longer than you think he would. He's tied 20th in driving distance.
Yeah, and I mean, it's just because he's so tall and lanky that he just generates a crap load of club head speed.
He could be a really good pick this week. Maybe he could snag it. That'd be fun. And I thought about talking about Bryson this week. I'm not going too much. I mean, he could play well because he's just so long. So this is the course for him, the bomb and gouge.
Yeah.
But
we just haven't seen him in so long.
Yeah, not rooting for him. So I thought about playing Rory this week, but I talked myself out of it earlier.
The course history is there, but the game is not.
Yeah, all of Rory. I could see Rory top 30 this week. But for his price tag, it's not worth top 30. Because I feel like his game's in a horrible spot, but he just loves this course. That's why I'm saying I can see top 30.
I can't believe from somebody like Rory's missed three out of the last five cuts.
Yeah, he's just not playing good at all.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Well, moving on to my tier A guy. I'm actually kind of excited about this guy. I've seen a lot of talk of him about on Golf Channel recently, and he's 10,500, and it's Joaquin Niemann. I'm actually kind of excited about him this week. I debated on it earlier, but his only finish here is tied 38th in 2019, which obviously is not bad. But keep in mind, that was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Joaquin Niemann has definitely grown as a player. And I was a little nervous because I didn't think he hit it that far, but wow, was I wrong. He's sixth in driving distance.
Wow.
So would never have guessed that. but yeah, I'm pretty excited about Joaquin Niemann this week. I could see Joaquin Niemann top 10. And 10,500, that's obviously worth the money going in top 10.
Yeah, and coming off a really solid week last week, too.
Yeah, I agree. Give me a guy.
So it's the lefty that I don't really talk a whole lot about, Brian Harman.
I got him, too.
10,300.
It's hard to go wrong with him right now.
Yeah, I mean, he's playing solid golf. I mean, his last three finishes is tied third at the Players, tied 12th at the Masters, and tied 13th at the RBC Heritage, which...
That's pretty good.
Yeah, but those three golf courses are very different, in my opinion, than this one, which kind of, I don't know, maybe gets people off of him a little bit.
I think he's going to play well here, though. He's won here before.
Yeah, he did. He won here in 2017 and tied 24th in 2019. So the course history is definitely there. Yeah,
tied 35th in 2016 as well.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I think, like you said, his last three finishes all in the top 15.
Yeah.
He's coming to a course that he has won before at. I don't know. I could definitely see the top 20 finish.
Yeah, I was willing to go top 15.
Yeah, I think he's a good pick. 10,300. I feel like that's if you're getting top 15, top 20 out of it, 10,300. I find that worth it.
Yeah, I mean, stats wise, he's 21st in strokes gained putting, 33rd in strokes gained total, and 31st in driving accuracy. So
it's pretty good.
I mean, he's not going to be bombing and gouging a golf course, but at least he's pretty high up there and getting it in the fairway.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Let me give you some of my guys here. One of them, my next in price-wise, is actually Max Homa.
Right below him.
10,200. And it's kind of hard to justify. Max Homa's having a great season right now.
Yeah, he is.
He's won. He's coming off a good finish last week. And he won this tournament in 2019. So, I don't know. I just feel like he's playing so well and obviously coming to a course that he knows and obviously likes. I could see the Max Homa top 10 finish. At 10,200, I also find that worth it, the money.
Yeah, I mean, he was playing really well last week, and then he just couldn't get anything going on the final round.
I see top 15 at his worst. I could see him really – I can honestly see him top 5, really, but I definitely see him in the top 10, top 15 area, I think. How many other guys you got over there?
I just got one more.
All right, throw me him.
So it's actually right below him. Right below Homa, Cameron Tringali.
That's another guy got
10,100.
How can you go wrong with this guy right now?
He just feels like the biggest dark horse that's playing so good. Like, I don't feel nobody like talks about him. Nobody mentions him. I mean,
yeah.
But it's crazy. He's 21st in strokes gained total, 30th in strokes gained tee to green, 32nd in strokes gained putting, 38th in greens in regulation, 45th in strokes gained off the tee, 48th in strokes gained approach. I mean, dude is like killing it just about in every category, you know, statistically wise.
Yeah. And he's gone. He was 13. His last three finishes: 13th at Honda Classic, 9th at the Valero Texas Open, and 3rd at the Valspar Championship. I don't know why. I just don't feel like many people are going to pick him this week. Like you said, he's a dark horse. And he's 10,100. I just don't think many people pay attention to him.
Yeah, I mean, obviously.
I could see his ownership being under 15%.
And yeah.
For someone that I personally think could genuinely win this tournament, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely excited about him. Wednesday wagers tomorrow is going to be fun. There's going to be a lot of good bets tomorrow. But that being said, see, no more on Tier A.
Nope.
All right, so I'll give you my last guy on Tier A, and it's Jason Day.
Oh, really?
Yes. I know, surprising. He's a little streaky this season, I guess you could say. He did miss the cut in the Masters, but it's the Masters. But talking about courses and my course comparison, in 2019, Wells Fargo, he was 24th. He won in 2018, so he's won here before. And then if you want to talk AT&T Byron Nelson, he finished second in 2017, and he won in 2010. So a long time ago, but he has won at my course comparison. So that says something.
Right.
So, yeah, no, I could see Jason Day is only 10,000 this week. He's a bare edge of Tier A, Tier B guy. I definitely see the top 20 out of Jason Day. I could possibly see the top 15, maybe even top 10. I feel like he's going to play well this week. He's his best finish as of this year. It was AT&T Pebble Beach Pro Am 7th. Now that course is like 800 yards shorter than this one. But I don't know. He's won here before. He's won at my course comparison. I could see the top 15 finish out of Jason Day. I feel like that's risky.
Yeah.
But again, the huge thing with teams is ownership, and his ownership's not going to be high. So confident in it. But we'll move on to Tier B, which Tier B is slim picking.
Yeah, pretty much from here on out, you're going to probably hear me say every pick's kind of risky. Which usually doesn't happen. But
no, it doesn't. I feel like my Tier C guys are more safe than my Tier B guys, which is very strange. This is a weird week. But I got two Tier B guys. How many you got?
I got two Tier.
Okay.
You got
well,
guys also.
I'll start off with the guy I think we both have. 9,500 is Ricky Fowler.
I don't have him.
Okay. Well, you need to find a new podcast. how do you not have Ricky? That's shocking. He's won here before. Ricky, let's just dive into it a little bit. Ricky Fowler, 2019, tied fourth. 2018, tied 21st. 2016, tied 28th. And he's won here in 2012. Long time ago, which I don't even think he's been on the tour that long. But
I think that was his like debut win.
Yeah. He has been here for a long time. He loves this golf course. And his last tournament that we saw him play in was the Valero Texas Open, and he finished tied 17th. Mm-hmm. Obviously, he's had more than he's had probably right at a month off, maybe a little bit more. So clearly, he's had to have done something.
Yeah, and I mean, now that he's got this exemption into the PGA that's coming up in a couple weeks,
2 weeks,
he's got to be getting his game ready.
Yeah, so I think Ricky Fowler, I see the top 10. I might even see the win. I'm going to say it. I know that's risky, but again, Wednesday wagers odds tomorrow. But I'm not saying he's the most confident guy I see winning. I could probably see Joaquin Neiman or Cameron Tringale winning before I see Ricky winning.
Yeah.
But I see Ricky top 10, and I could see him competing for the win. I'm pulling for the PGA Championship win because I already placed a bet on him to win that. So like, give me one of your guys.
Also, 9,500. And he's risky just because this is a much harder golf course than, well, I don't know, last week was pretty hard too. So maybe I shouldn't throw that out there. But Lucas Glover, 9,500.
He's won here before.
Yes, he won here in 2011. And, I mean, he's not playing bad golf, but he absolutely fell apart on the weekend.
Yes.
Or, well, pretty much just Saturday's round, which I looked into his stats, and like, he's literally under par, averaging under par on every single round but his round threes. I don't know what happens to him once he makes a cut.
That's weird.
But yeah, they call Saturday moving day, and he moves out. He just leaves. So I don't really know how confident I am in him. Stats-wise, he's inside the top 65 in strokes gained off the tee, tee to green, around the green, and strokes gained total. So not awful, but I feel like 9,500 is kind of a lot for Lucas Glover and to me. But
where could you see him finishing at his best? Because he's obviously going to be more comfortable here because he's won here before.
Right. I could probably see him finishing top 20.
Okay. 9,500?
Yeah.
That's worth it, I would say. Who are you more comfortable with, Ricky or Lucas?
Oof.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I don't know. That was a hard one.
I love Ricky this week. All right, well, let me give you my last Tier B guy. I only have two Tier B guys. It's just Tier B is so slim picking. But that being said, I didn't even want to add this guy, but I did. 9,300 is Brendan Todd. It's risky. I don't know. It's such a weird week to me this week.
Yeah.
But Brendan Todd, his best finish here, and maybe even old, well, he's played here before, but most recent finish is tied 18th in 2019. So tied 18th, nothing to complain about. 9,300. But main reason I picked him is because it was tied 18th in 2019, but he also won the AT&T Byron Nelson My Course Comparison in 2014. So a long time ago, but again, you've won at My Course Comparison before, so that clearly says something to me. Brendan Todd's ownership's going to be low, and he's 9,300. I could see a top 20 finish at his best, I would say. And that's risking it, I feel like. But again, I'd rather have Ricky, but again, Brendan Todd's $200 cheaper, so I don't know. You'll see tomorrow if I put him in a lineup or not, but I could see the top 20 at the best. Give me your Tier B guy.
So, I'm probably more confident in Glover than I am this guy.
Oh, God.
But I feel like his course history is good enough where I have to mention him. It's Joel Damon.
Yeah.
9,100.
He's won this season, finally.
He did. He won the Corrales Punta Cana Championship. And then he finished 74th at the Valero Texas Open. That's a crazy thing. He made the cut. I mean, I think he finished dead last after that because he literally didn't shoot a single round under par that entire week.
Yeah. So tell me why you're picking him then.
He's 31st in driving accuracy and 58th in strokes gained off the tee, which I feel like is super important here.
Yeah.
And like I said, his course history is really solid. He's finished second in 2019 and tied 16th in 2018. So
pretty good.
$9,100. I feel like the way this week's shaping up, I feel like you can do a lot worse than Joel Damon this week.
What do you think? Top 20?
Yeah.
Okay. That's worth it. 9,100? That's worth it.
Yeah.
All right, so let's move on to Tier C. Now, we're flying through these today.
We are.
There's not. It's a weird week, I'm telling you. Wednesday Wagers is where the real episode is this week, I feel like. But that being said, I got four guys in Tier C, and I'm pretty confident about my four guys. I'll probably put all four of these guys on a lineup somewhere, to be honest.
Well, as slim as I've went this week, I'll be putting all my guys in lineups.
Yeah. How many Tier C guys do you have?
I have two.
Okay. Well, I'll give you a couple. One of them I have is the most expensive Tier C guy I have, and it's Keith Mitchell.
I have him also.
Yeah. So kind of risque, I would say. Keith Mitchell's a big Bermuda guy. And I feel like Bermuda champion is like the definition of Bermuda, it seems like.
Yeah, I mean, he hasn't had the best season so far, but he has turned it around. Yeah. He's made his last four cuts.
Yeah, so right direction, I'd say.
Yeah.
He tied eighth here in 2019, and if you want to talk my course comparison, in 2018 he tied third. So two good finishes at these courses. He's scary. I am more confident in the next two guys I'm going to tell you than I am Keith Mitchell. But I don't know. What do you think? Why do you like him?
He's 27th in strokes gained off the tee and 32nd in driving distance, which that's, to me, that's pretty solid. I mean, he's bombing it out there, but he's gaining a lot of strokes from doing so also, which means he's got to be hitting fairways, and he's making he's turning his good drives into scores.
That's fair.
At least the last couple of weeks.
All right, fair. I took yours, so I'll maybe throw you another guy or two.
Okay.
So this guy, you will be seeing me placing an outright winner bet on this guy, and he is a really big underdog. 8,700 is Aaron Wise.
Really?
Yes. I'm confident in him. If you place this bet, you better be monitoring the cash out button. It's honestly the only reason I'm talking outright winner is because he's plus 15,000 to win. So that's obviously pretty big. But on 100%, I could see Aaron Wise top 10, maybe even top 5. And the reason being is Aaron Wise at the Wells Fargo has tied 18th in 2019 and tied 2nd in 2018. And if you look at my AT&T Byron Nelson course comparison for the week, he tied 43rd in 2019 and he won in 2018. So I'm big on him. And this is where I kind of come in, where I feel like this is a week preparing for the next week. If you're looking at it, in 2018, he tied 2nd at Wells Fargo, and the same year he won at the AT&T. So I'm telling you now, if he plays good this week, he is going to light it up next week. So just that's my big pick for the week, I would say. But give me your guy.
So this guy is hella risky.
Hella.
But he won in 2016. It's James Hahn.
I thought about it.
He's 8,500.
Risque.
Yeah, he was playing pretty solid golf through like February, but he did have a rib injury that he had to withdraw from the Honda Classic for.
Yep.
So he did. He didn't really do anything for you there, and then he missed the cut at the Valspar. But I'm hoping that rib injury's kind of healed up a little bit. Stats-wise, he's 20th in strokes gained putting, 15th in greens in regulation, and 55th in driving accuracy. So
not bad.
For a middle-of-the-road Tier C guy, those are decent stats.
No, yeah, I 100% agree with you. Well, I say Tier C, it's just scary.
Yeah.
Like I said, every guy that I'm talking about, I'm pretty confident about. Keith Mitchell, I'm like, eh. But these next two guys, including – I loved Aaron Wise. These next two guys, I'm going to tell you, confident. One of them, Rory Sabatini. Why do I always call him Robert? He just looks like a Robert. But anyway, that being said, Rory Sabatini – 8,200 this week. He is cheap and he's worth it. 2019, Wells Fargo tied 18th. 2018, tied 27th. If you look at my AT&T Byron Nelson course comparison, tied 5th in 2019, tied 13th in 2018, and he actually won it in 2009. I said nine.
Nine.
Yeah. But I think he is well worth it. I see the top 20. And at 8,200, you're going real cheap like that. And if he gets you top 20, you're going to be able to stack on the Tier A, which I feel like stacking on Tier A is very important this week because Tier B is nothing.
Yeah.
So Tier C, that's why I really dialed in for Tier C this week. But that being said, Rory Sabatini, good pick. My last Tier C pick for the week is, not a huge fan. I feel like it's pretty safe, it's just weird to say his name. It's Pat Perez.
I've got it written down too.
Yeah, 8,100. Bold.
I thought you were going to look at me like I've lost my mind when I mentioned him.
No, Pat Perez, bold, but like it. Tied 8th in 2009, Wells Fargo, and tied 2nd in 2017, Wells Fargo. And if you're looking at course comparison for the week, tied 12th in 2019. So, I mean, bold. I mean, he does not care about his physical well-being at all.
The guy that had the mullet before the mullet was cool.
Yeah. Rory Sabatini is a much safer pick than Pat Perez, in my opinion. But, again, if you want to go even cheaper, Pat Perez is 8,100. So, also a good pick for the week, I feel like.
Yeah.
And you like him too, apparently.
Yeah, I mean, I like him just for everything you said. I mean, his stats are pretty bad. He is 36 in strokes gained putting, which is decent.
Yeah.
But other than that, I mean, he's outside like the top 100 and everything. So
yeah.
that doesn't really bode well for my way of picking. But I definitely think you can do worse than him in this tier.
No, I agree. Like I said, this week is just so – it's just such slim picking, in my opinion. That's why we're flying through this episode right now.
Yeah.
It's like I said, the tier – loading up on tier C, I feel like, is key this week to just hammer tier A. Like, probably three tier C guys and three tier A guys is probably what I'm looking at.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just a tough week. But that being said, tier D, where we scrape the barrel for somebody to make the cut, and I have the bottom of the barrel guy. But how many do you guys have?
I just have one.
All right, give me your one.
It's I'm going back to him until he proves me wrong. It's Vincent Whaley.
Okay.
I mean, for a tier D guy, which is crazy because I'm pretty sure I paid a little bit more for him last week than I did this week. And he's literally made his last six cuts.
I don't know.
I mean, he finished tied 50th at AT&T, tied 15th at Puerto Rico, tied 36th at the Honda, tied 28th at Corrales, tied 34th at the Valero, and tied 29th at Valspar.
Yeah.
So, I mean, for a tier D guy for that, you know, consistently, I feel like that's solid.
No, I agree with you. That's pretty good. How much was he again?
He's just 7,000.
Yeah. So I also have a guy that's 7,000. That's crazy. 2 7,000 guys. Yeah. If you pick a 7,000 guy, again, FanDuel pricing for everything, if you put a 7,000 guy in, you're going to be able to do whatever you want.
Yeah, pretty much.
You can easily just go 7,000 guy and then John Rahm, like one of the most expensive guys, and you can just still literally do whatever you want. Like, yeah. Really. All right. So that being said, my $7,000 guy is Kevin Tway, who just dropped off the face of the earth. He wasn't really ever on the face of the earth to begin with, but he just dropped off more over the last 2 years. Reason being, he's not playing the greatest still, but reason being, 2017 at the Wells Fargo, he tied fifth. So, obviously that's good. That's literally one of the only things he has, so it's risky. But the main reason I did it, obviously a tied fifth, but plus AT&T Byron Nelson, 2019 tied 53rd, 2018 tied 9th, and 2017 tied 20th. So good finishes at a similar course. Another reason I picked AT&T Byron Nelson is because it's in Dallas, so it's both coastal states, so I feel like it's very similar weather, I would say. And then again, same length, same grass, all that. But yeah, Kevin Tway this week. That's
as risky as it gets.
Yeah. If you ask me, I'll probably put a bet on him tomorrow, Wednesday wagers. I don't know where.
Or why?
Yeah, why? I would probably do a top 40 bet, but honestly, top 40, he's probably gonna be like plus 600 for top 40.
Yeah.
So might be worth it. But you got anything else?
Nope.
Well, we're just going to apologize for how fast this episode has gone.
Yeah, this has literally been the quickest episode by far.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's not much to talk about this week. Not a whole lot of news. The picks are weird. Again, it's a whole new grass. We've seen the rest for the whole year. So I feel like I said, this week is, for me, a big preparation week for next week, because these are very similar courses. But that being said... God, this is a short episode.
Yeah.
Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at The Morning Moly for all of them. And make sure you tune in to tomorrow's episode, the Wednesday Wagers. Everything's released at 6 a.m. Eastern time. That being said, let's end this like maybe 30-minute episode if we're lucky. And we'll see you guys tomorrow. Thanks.